It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strangeamps. We're going to start today's show with a story that may sound familiar. A story about an oil pipeline on native land and a small tribe up against a major corporation. But before we do that, we need to go for a walk. Way up in northern Wisconsin, to the home of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, a tribe of the Ojibwe, where early one morning, Mike Wiggins, the former chairman of the Bad River Band, took a visiting film director for a walk along the shore.
We stop just at the mouth of Lake Superior where it meets the Bad River and get out on a beach. And I look down and I see these beautiful stones.
Oh.
What do I do?
This is Mary Mazio, the director of the documentary Bad River.
Oh yeah, it's bad. I lean over, I grab that stone, and I immediately knew what I had done. And Mike said to me, "Let me just see what you have." I said, "Oh, let me put it back." I knew exactly what I had done. I was just self-aware enough to know that, oh, this was an epic fail.
To be honest, I pick up stones on beaches all the time. I live in Wisconsin. The rocks along the shores of Lake Superior are famously beautiful. People collect them. I had no idea that the Ojibwe consider some of those stones sacred. Until Mary told me this story, it just didn't occur to me. Because that's not how I was raised to see the world.
Our American viewpoint, myself embodied by it, right, is you look around and everything is there for us for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
I will take that. That is going to serve me. As opposed to the values that I started to learn, by the way, in a really awkward way, but the Ojibwe value system, which was long-term, group-oriented, and we are thinking of each other and not about ourselves.
Our theme this hour is tribal sovereignty. But as we found again and again in producing this show, Native Americans and white people speak two fundamentally different languages when it comes to land rights. We have different ideas about how to treat land, how to live on and with it, and especially about whether land can even be owned.
Land is something to benefit all of us. And of course, we have this private ownership imposed over us. But the Ojibwe, who have been here for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, never viewed land in that vein. It was co-use. How do we use this together? And in fact, when you go back and look at some of the old treaties, the understanding by the Ojibwe was, we're not granting you private ownership of this land, which would be the state of Wisconsin or the state of Michigan, right? What we are doing is we're granting you the ability to go and harvest timber. They did not intend to cede land because it wasn't even a thing, private ownership.
The tribe has experienced this for hundreds of years. The timber companies came here before, and this is just a new company coming here using old tactics. We're bringing you guys jobs, we're bringing you guys money.
Here's the mighty green dollar, and take it and it'll all be good. But then what are you losing?
When there's a spill and there's no water to drink, can you drink your dollars that you get? I don't think so.
We love our land more than we love the money, that's what I said.
When you see money as more of a commodity and a necessity than your own water, rice, and land, they did kill you. They killed that part of you that's connected to it. They killed that part of your mind that remembers what your grandpa had to do, what his grandfather had to do.
It's in my blood memory that this land is the most important thing that there is, because everything else can be gone.
That's from Bad River, the documentary Mary Mazzio made about a small band of Lake Superior Chippewa and their legal battle to get rid of an oil pipeline called Line 5, built and owned by Enbridge, a Canadian energy company.
Enbridge paid less than $4,000 for the right to install and operate a 12-mile pipeline over Bad River land without tribal consent. That happened in 1953, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs was effectively rubber stamping major swaths of Native land for commercial exploitation. And for 40 years, Enbridge had a free ride to extraordinary profitability with almost no benefit to the band.
How much was this pipeline worth?
We found documentation that suggested that on an annual basis, there is $600 million of cash flow related to Line 5 on an annual basis.
Wow. So the agreement, the historic agreement that the corporation made has expired. And the tribe decided, we do not want this pipeline on our land. Take it off. You're trespassing. That seems so cut and dried. It seems so clear legally. Why has this turned into a big battle?
Enbridge, as is typical with many energy giants, in fact, many companies, these lines are so profitable that they are battling to continue operations as uninterrupted from their perspective as possible. And this, by the way, this happens all throughout Indian country. Extractors, whether it's mines or pipelines or dams, can, with impunity, disregard the terms of their contract because, well, sue us. You have a huge energy conglomerate with very sophisticated lawyers, and then you've got a very small band who is, you know, many of its residents are below the poverty line. It is a real David and Goliath fight.
It just seems like a pretty clear case about land sovereignty, right? This is a tribal nation.
Indeed.
They have a right to their land and to determine what goes on in their land. If the situation was reversed and Enbridge, a Canadian company, was running a pipeline that the U.S. had said, no, you can't run that on American territory, there wouldn't be an issue.
Enbridge has tried arguing unsuccessfully, by the way, because Judge Conley in the federal district court found that there's a clear trespass, but Enbridge continues to operate to this day without any recompense to the band. However, the issue has nothing to do with oil and everything to do with a piece of aging infrastructure sitting in the wrong place that shouldn't be operated contractually anymore and is today at profound risk of rupture. When the line was put in 1953, it was constructed about 350 feet away from the Bad River. At last check, there's been so much erosion at one piece of the Bad River that the pipeline is now 11 feet away.
What would happen if the pipeline burst?
If the pipeline bursts, you have 12 miles of oil across the Bad River Reservation. That oil will be in Lake Superior in a matter of hours. This is a terrifying prospect. People are panicked. And what's fascinating, I think, is at last count, Enbridge had offered the Bad River Band $80 million to settle the case, continue operations.
That's a lot of money for a small band.
And yet, the band does not define themselves in terms of money. That's such a short-term view, right? And they're like, look, we need to preserve Lake Superior for our seventh generation. And with extreme weather, more and more of this country will be drawing on Lake Superior. It's 10% of the world's freshwater resource. It's our job. And so when you think about it, you've got this tiny community fighting tooth and nail at huge personal expense. The legal fees have been overwhelming. The pressure, both internally and externally on the band, has been severe.
Because some people would like to take the $80 million?
Yes.
The Bad River Tribe won their lawsuit, right?
They did.
The federal judge said, yep, This is their land, Enbridge. Get off. Seems like a victory. What happens now?
Well, Judge Conley found that Enbridge, in fact, was in a state of trespass, and he gave the company until 2026 to be out. Enbridge appealed that decision to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. I do think that if I'm a betting person, that this is a case that goes to the Supreme Court.
Wow. So what's your sense of how all these land rights battles are going to play out in American law? I mean, are we looking at an era of relitigating or reinterpreting treaty rights? And is it possible that actually good could come out of this? Because so many of those treaty rights, if we look at them today, do seem deeply unfair, morally wrong. Certainly the way they've been interpreted seems wrong.
You're asking a really interesting question. And how the Supreme Court, if presented with this case, I think Judge Gorsuch has been very strong on native sovereignty. I think the idea that a contract is a contract is a contract, whether it's a treaty from 1854, whether it's an easement that expired in 2013, I think with a more conservative bench, hopefully you might see that being respected. But I think, I can't even venture a prediction, quite honestly. I mean, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in a case that came before her, basically stomped all over native sovereignty, saying, you know, quote unquote, the embers of sovereignty have long since been extinguished, something like that. You know, I'm a Kennedy Democrat. I'm from Massachusetts. I was horrified by the cavalier nature that sort of one of our more esteemed progressive jurists would take with respect to exactly what you're talking about, sovereignty and land rights. So I think you're asking a question that it's really difficult to chart. And we can only hope that with the next generation of young people that learn more about Native history and Native communities, understand that the race to protect land is the race to protect precious resources so that we can survive as a species. That's it, right? As opposed to the other side, which is, okay, how do we commercially exploit this for money? And it goes back to that divergent worldview that you talked about a few minutes ago, which is profound.
My little tribe is standing up and saying, we're protecting the water, not just for us. We're protecting water for the planet.
Not all of our decisions are based off of what's presenting itself from an Enbridge lens, but it's more of a deeper, more thoughtful, future-based decision as a sovereign about what we'd like to have here for our people in the future.
We have the right to say, look at the leases expired. Stop the flow, dig up the pipe, remediate the soil, and, you know, don't let the doors hit you, you're behind on your way out.
None of our old tribal councils gave away our sovereignty. None of them said, from this moment on, our tribe will exist and serve at the pleasure of the Enbridge pipe maintenance and operation.
And yet, here we are years later, and the company won't move.
The film is Bad River, a documentary directed by Mary Mazzio. You can see the trailer and learn more about it on our website at ttbook.org.